We are glad to present your speaker, Don Blackwell.
For me to live is Christ and to die is gain. These are the words of the Apostle Paul as found in Philippians 1 and verse 21. One of the greatest fears that most people have is that of death. And yet, Paul said to die is gain. Why does Paul make this seemingly strange statement? Why does he view death as a good thing? Friends, the answer to this question lies in what was awaiting him after death. In verse 23, he describes death as departing to be with the Lord. Now, what is awaiting man after death? Hebrews 9:27 says, "It is appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment." But what then? The wicked will go to a place that the Bible calls hell. The righteous will go to heaven. Revelation 21 and verse 4 says, "And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away." On a previous program, we discussed the seven horrors of hell. Today, we're going to be discussing the seven glories of heaven. Today and in our next lesson, we're going to look at what heaven has to offer those who are faithful to the Lord. And what we want to do is to compare and contrast these two places as we go through the study. What is it that keeps me going as a child of God? If I'm a Christian, I'm a member of the Lord's church, what is it that keeps me motivated to be faithful? And if I'm not a Christian, what is it that motivates me to want to obey the gospel? Well, of course, the fear of hell would be one answer to that question. If I am a Christian, I want to continue to be faithful, lest I go there. Like the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 27, he said, "But I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified." In other words, Paul was saying, I stringently keep control of my body and my desires, lest after I have preached to others, I should lose my own soul. You see, he was saying, I don't want to go to hell, and so I'm stringently watching my behavior. And that is one of the things that keeps a Christian holding fast to that which is right. And certainly that's a legitimate motivator. You know, Jesus oftentimes spoke in terms such as this. In Matthew 5 and verse 29, he said, "If your right eye causes you to sin, pluck it out and cast it from you, for it is more profitable for you that one of your members perish than for your whole body to be cast into hell." Then in verse 30, he says, "If your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and cast it from you, for it is more profitable for you that one of your members perish than for your whole body to be cast into hell." Matthew 10:28, a very similar thought. He says, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both the soul and body in hell." And the fear of hell is a strong motivator for the non-Christian as well. Of course, Romans chapter 6 and verse 23 tells us, "The wages of sin is death." That is eternal death. And Romans 3:23 says, "All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." I have sinned. And as a sinner, I am destined to go there. I'm destined to lose my soul in hell if I don't become a child of God and if I don't have my sins forgiven by the blood of Jesus. Friends, that's a powerful motivator. What is it that makes me want to be faithful? What is it that makes me want to obey the gospel? Certainly, hell is an answer to that question. But a second answer to the question is heaven, the hope of heaven. Not only is it the case that I do not want to go to hell, but I do want to go to heaven. More than anything, I want to go there and I want to take my family there with me. And so today I want us to begin talking about one of the greatest motivators that we have to be faithful, and that is heaven. Today's lesson is dealing with the seven glories of heaven. Number one, glory number one is the glory of the light. Now, of course, this is in contrast with one of the horrors of hell, which is the horror of darkness. Jude in verse 13 talks about those who live away from Christ, and he says that for them there is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 17 says, "The mist of darkness is reserved forever." Matthew three times describes hell as the place of outer darkness. But not so in heaven. One of the glories of heaven is the glory of the light. Revelation 22 and verse 5 says, "And there shall be no night there. And they have no need of candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light." Friends, in this life, people oftentimes fear darkness, because darkness is when people do evil deeds. John 3 and verse 19 says, "Men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil." And sometimes children want a light in their room at night because they're afraid of the dark. You can't see in the dark, and darkness is a time of uncertainty. But you see, there's no darkness in heaven. There's an old song that we sometimes sing that says, "No night there. In the land of fadeless day lies a city four square. It shall never pass away, and there is no night there. God shall wipe away all tears. There's no death, no pain, nor fears. And they count not time by years, for there is no night there. There they need no sunshine bright in that city four square, for the Lamb is all the light, and there is no night there." But friends, part of the glory is the source of the light. The source of the light in heaven is not the sun, it's not the moon, it's not the lights that we know in this lifetime. Revelation 21 and verse 23 says, "And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it." The Bible says that God is the source of the light, and that's part of the glory of heaven, to be with Him and to look upon His face. Imagine this with me. Remember in Exodus chapter 34 how it was that when Moses was on the mountain with God, that he begged the Lord, "Show me thy glory." And the Lord answered Moses, "Thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live." And Moses, because he had found grace in the sight of God, God did, however, grant Moses, according to verse 21, "Thou shalt stand upon a rock, and it shall come to pass, while my glory passeth by, that I will put thee in a cliff of the rock, and will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. And I will take away my hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen." Now, after that incident, you remember how it was that Moses came down off of the mountain, and the Bible says that the skin of his face shone, and the people there were afraid to come near him. It's an incredible scene that we read about. And remember, Moses was limited on this earth to a mere glimpse of glory. But Revelation 22 and verse 4 says about the faithful children of God, "His servants shall serve him, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads." Friends, I cannot even imagine the glory that it is going to bring. And so one of the glories of heaven will be the light and the source of it. A second glory of heaven that we want to discuss is the glory of comfort. Now, this is in contrast to the suffering, the horror of hell, and that is fire. In talking about hell, we observe that it's going to be a place of torment and a place of fire. In Luke 16, the rich man cried out to Abraham in verse 24, "I am tormented in this flame." Revelation 14 and verse 11 says, "And the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever, and they have no rest day nor night." Mark describes it as a place where the worm dieth not. That is, destruction never ends. The rich man cries to Abraham for mercy. In Luke 16 and verse 25, but the answer comes back, "Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted, and thou art tormented." Now notice the contrast. For the rich man there was fire and there was torment. For righteous Lazarus there was comfort. Ladies and gentlemen, if we lead this life as faithful children of the Church of Christ, there is comfort awaiting us on the other side. And that has to be one of the glories of heaven, because oftentimes in this life we experience pain that we long to have comforted. In this life, we endure many difficulties and many hardships, but as children of the Lord, we look to the future and we keep going. You remember the verse, Galatians 6 and verse 9, "And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." And sometimes that helps to keep me going. Because sometimes in my well-doing, I do get weary. Sometimes I want to stop. Sometimes I want to quit. But we're told, don't give up. Don't give up. Because there is a day of comfort coming. 2 Thessalonians 1 and verse 7 says that there is going to be rest for those who are faithful. Listen to the passage. "And to you who are troubled, rest with us." This is talking about faithful Christians. "Rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with His mighty angels." And so we have those words to encourage us when we grow weary and sometimes when we feel like we're ready to lay down our swords. Heaven will be a place of comfort and rest, whereas hell will be a place where they have no rest day or night forever. And so as we think about the seven glories of heaven, one of those glories has got to be the light. And of course, the source of the light, that source being God Himself. On the day when all of God's faithful children through the ages will be able to look upon His face. And of course, the second glory of heaven is that of comfort. The suffering that we know in this lifetime will be no more. The agony that is known in torment, the agony, the pain, the suffering that is known to those who will be in hell eternally will be unknown to those who are in heaven. Friends, if you're not a faithful child of God, you don't have these promises of the glories of heaven. In order to become a member of the Lord's church and a child of God, a man must hear the gospel. He must believe it. He must repent of his sins. He must confess his faith in Christ as the Son of God, and he must be baptized in water for the remission of sins. If you'll do these things, the Lord will add you to his church. And then if you will live faithfully for the rest of your life, you can look forward to enjoying the seven glories of heaven.